Chapter 26, Costa Rica. A girl who was visiting the gym had just had her camera stolen in the hostel the day before. I was paranoid about losing something. If my camera, phone, or iPad got stolen, it would be pretty bad. I should take a backup of my photos somehow, I thought to myself. My budget was getting tight, but I decided to take the private room instead of a dorm bed. I really needed to get some sleep and relax after the flight. The hostel was an interesting place. The guests were mostly middle-aged Americans who had come to Costa Rica for dental work. They lived there for weeks and weeks, and I don't think they ever left the house except for when they were going to the dentist. A guy in his 50s was watching Gladiator with the volume turned up high on a small analog television, and I caught him crying at the end scene when I got back from a short walk to the supermarket. He quickly got up from the couch and hid in the kitchen, not having time to turn off the TV, so the loud end credit music from the movie filled the common room, coming from small, crackling speakers. Juanito sent me a text message saying that there would be training at 6:30 in the evening. I was determined to learn some Spanish, and apart from downloading lots of podcasts with lessons, I had found a great translation app for my phone that was reading out loud prefixed sentences when I clicked them. I tried it out on my way to the gym. It even had a section with romantic sentences. Walking to the gym, I was concentrating on the application and forgot the world around me. "You have a beautiful smile," it said loudly in Spanish from my phone speaker, as I realized I was walking right behind another guy on an otherwise empty side street. I desperately tried to find the stop button, but it was too late. He turned around and gave me a weird look, then started walking noticeably faster. Out of the blue, it suddenly started raining. Hard. People had told me about the afternoon showers, but it was way more intense than I had imagined. I had bought a small umbrella at the hostel for a few dollars and quickly unfolded it. The heavy wind pretty much rendered it useless. It kind of kept my face dry, but everything else got wet. A bus passed and splashed water onto me. I jumped away from it, but realized that no matter how hard I tried, I would probably be soaked by the time I got to the gym, no matter what. I didn't mind the rain. I had some new music on my phone, and with my earphones plugged in, I was walking quickly on the sidewalk, wearing a big smile. My body was exhausted from the hard training in Santo Domingo the night before, but I was really excited about being in a new place to see how the training would be there. I was alone, far away from home with no friends yet, and still, I knew it was going to be awesome. My travel mojo was strong, and I felt like I was on top of the world. The rain was insane by the time I finally made it to the gym. I was early, but a few guys were already on the mat, rolling lightly. I stumbled over the words as I tried my best Spanish to introduce myself to one of the guys, but he just replied in perfect English and welcomed me to the gym. Juanito was teaching the class, running a warm-up routine of 50 jumping jacks, 100 crunches, and 100 push-ups. My tired body didn't think it was the greatest way to warm up, but I was the guest and went through it anyway. There wasn't much energy in me for rolling, but I went a few rounds all the same. The level of the guys in the gym was seriously good, and I didn't have much on the core group of high-level guys there. I was impressed by the intensity of which everyone seemed to roll, and witnessed some all-out 10-minute wars that I would never have survived myself. We were sitting around on the mats after training and chatting. Some of the guys were heading to a beach for a weekend of surfing and training, and asked me if I wanted to join them. I was only staying in Costa Rica for 4 days, and wouldn't mind seeing something else than just the city. As I walked back to the hostel, the rain had passed, and it was only drizzling a little bit. I had just landed that same morning, and already I had trained, made new friends, and planned what to do for the rest of my stay. I knew jiu-jitsu wouldn't let me down. I was getting really good at this and felt confident that I could go anywhere in the world with zero planning and things would work themselves out. My body felt overtrained the next day as I opened my eyes and tried to get out of the bed. It was only a week till the World Championships, and I had to be careful not to push myself too hard before that. There wasn't much for me to do during the daytime, so I decided to go for a walk through the town with my camera. Photographing cities always provides a real challenge in finding the interesting details between a constant bombardment of images. There is no beautiful landscape presenting itself with a panoramic sky and lots of interesting colors and details ready to be captured in the first attempt. A city demands one's full concentration and patience. It usually also involves a good amount of footwork to find the right shots, which is why I normally like to do city photography on a bicycle. That day, I had to make do with my sandals. I walked for 4 hours around town. Probably not the best idea when I was so sore, but I got some good shots out of it. I walked down all the little side streets, not entirely sure if it was safe for me or not. Simple shops were set up in little wooden townhouses, and I practiced my Spanish, trying to understand the handwritten signs on them. It was a challenge for me to be in South America. I enjoyed pushing myself to learn a new language and involve myself in situations where I didn't know what to do, to have to ask strangers for directions and maybe make a fool out of myself. I felt like I grew way more from traveling to places like that, compared to places where everything was easy. I packed my backpack in the evening and walked to the gym. The training was just something I tried to survive. There was no energy left inside of me to go hard in sparring, and I tried to do as little as possible to try and recover before the competition. After training, me and three guys threw our bags in the trunk of a little car and drove off towards the beach. I suck the big fat gringo cock of capitalism every day so I can make money to live my rest alive. I don't give a shit about anything but rolling, one of them told me. Leo was waiting for us as we pulled in at the small parking lot in front of the hotel about 3 hours' drive later. It was a narrow, concrete building with a big surf school sign by the road. I was tired from training and the long drive, but Leo was full of energy. He showed us to our small room. It had a tiny kitchen and simple beds for four people. His family was running the hostel that was right on the beach. Leo taught surfing lessons and had some puzzle mats to put out in the sand for jiu-jitsu training. Every other weekend, the guys from the town would drive out there to surf, party, and relax. Roger and Igor Gracie had just been there on vacation. In the morning, we packed Leo's little black truck with as many surfboards on the roof as it could possibly fit. Then we stuffed the seats with as many guys as it could possibly fit. I was crammed into the back seat and hoped it wouldn't be too long of a drive. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining in a clear blue sky. A gentle wind was blowing through the palm trees along the road as we drove to a nearby beach. We laid the boards out in the sand. Some girls from the hostel were taking surf lessons and got the two biggest ones. I couldn't wait to get in the water. Eager as a little kid, I quickly grabbed my beautiful 8-footer and strapped the leash around my ankle. The other guys seemed a little slow getting in the water, but I couldn't wait. I walked out and immediately noticed how warm it was. It felt nice around my legs as I stood in the shallow water and brushed the black sand off the board. My shoulders, neck, and back had gotten more accustomed to the paddling, and it wasn't as tiresome to get out through the waves that I had felt in Taiwan or Hawaii. The water was shallow. I could touch the bottom hundreds of meters out. There were no rocks, just soft sand under my feet. No reefs or sea urchins to worry about. It was the perfect beach for me to surf that day. The other guys came to the outside of the break a little after me. We only sat there for a minute before I noticed a ripple in the water, turned my board, and started paddling. It grew bigger and bigger behind me, and with a roar, it pushed me forward. The white, foamy water chaotically surrounded me, accelerating me from almost standing still when I was paddling in front of the wave, and it pulled me backwards to full speed with the wind blowing in my ears and water splashing on my face. I put my front foot on the board, then the rear foot, and stood up. The adrenaline kicked in, and I held my breath for the first few seconds as I felt the wave smoothly taking me for a beautiful ride. I took my eyes off the board for a moment to look up. The scenery was amazingly beautiful. Lush hills surrounded the bay. The green palm trees on the beach stood in stark contrast to the black volcanic sand. Globetrotter, put your knees more together. Woo, Globetrotter! Leo was teaching the girls how to paddle and stopped to cheer for me as I rushed by them on a smooth, crystal clear wave. It took me all the way to the beach, so I had to jump off in order to not hit the sand with the fins. I turned the board around and looked at the guys sitting all the way out there where I caught the wave. The thrill and sheer happiness I got from catching a wave like that is hard to describe. It was like pulling off that perfect move in competition. I loved it. It was a great day of surfing. The waves kept coming and I was riding more of them than I could count. I tried not to think about how much I was going to miss it when I got home to the flat waters of Denmark. It was a short visit to the little beach town and the bus came right on time at 6 o'clock in the morning. I must have looked pretty sleepy as I stood there by the dirty side of the little road waiting for it. Aeropuerto? I asked the driver. He said something in Spanish and I was too tired to try and ask more. I found a seat and rested my head on the window. The bus was packed with people and I was the only gringo on board. I crossed my fingers that I was going the right way. After a few hours of driving, we stopped in a small city. I was the only passenger left. Everyone else had gotten off along the way. I sat and waited for a few minutes, then the bus driver realized I was still there and signaled to me that we had reached the last stop. I was nowhere near an airport. I tried to talk to the driver about it, but he just mumbled something and quickly disappeared around the corner of the little building in his hurry to get his coffee break. It was 8 in the morning on a Sunday, and I stood in the burning sun on a little empty street in the middle of a random town. I had no idea where I was or how to get to the airport. I had taken the wrong bus and time was running out for me in terms of making it to the airport in time. It didn't look like a place where many people would speak English, and even if they did, everyone was sleeping. I put on my backpack and started walking in desperate search for anyone to ask for help. It was like a total ghost town. No one was outside that morning. I made it down to a harbor before I finally saw a guy around my age walk towards me on the opposite side of the road. I crossed the street and had to use every single Learn Spanish podcast lesson I had heard to try and ask him how I could get to the airport. He was really helpful and drew a little map for me with directions to the bus station. Muchas gracias, señor, I shouted and smiled to him as I ran down the street. The bus station looked like somewhere drug dealers would meet in a movie set in a small Mexican town. Tickets were sold by a fat, sweaty guy sitting behind a small window in the wall. He was wearing a dirty white shirt and had a disgusting mustache. It was obvious that he hated both his life and stupid backpacking gringos like me. I knew how to ask for a ticket because I once had a henna tattoo on my arm in Mexico saying 2 tickets to the gun show. When I said it out loud, trying to sound all serious and realizing that I was basically reading the line from my stupid tattoo and just switching out gun show with aeroporte it was hard not to laugh a little bit at the weird connection of events in my life. The guy behind the window wasn't laughing at all. Without even looking at me, he mumbled something that was completely impossible to understand, probably even for the locals as well. I figured he meant that the bus was about to leave. I ran to the other end of the bus station and was just about to take off my backpack as another guy with a dirty white shirt and a disgusting mustache put his arm out in front of me. The bus was full, or so he claimed at least. I had to wait for the next one. It was serious gringo fail. Finally on a bus, we raced over the death trap roads along the mountains. I sat by the window and opened it all the way up, leaning my head towards it and closed my eyes. The sun was shining and the air was fresh. Some men were cutting the grass by the side of the road, and the smell of it reminded me of being in a summer house as a kid. That memory was so far away in both time and space, and yet, for a second, I felt that I was right there. It was a victory to get to the airport that was full of tanned Americans with bright white teeth on their way home to show them off. I was there right on time and spent the wait at the gate writing an article for a jiu-jitsu magazine about my trip. It has been quite a ride for me since I wrote the article for the previous issue 2 months ago. It started.